And as you're being seated, you can take your Bibles this morning and turn with us, if you would, to Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2 this morning. And we'll be there momentarily. And it's amazing how the Lord can work certain themes and messages together as you're studying His Word. Last Sunday, we looked at the thought of finding hope in what seems to be more increasingly a hopeless time, a hopeless world, into the God of all hope. And we said last week that if we can find that hope in God, then He will bring forth joy into our life. And I want you to imagine for just a moment a world without joy. A world without the hope of a Savior. A world without the promise of forgiveness. A world without the assurance that something greater awaits us beyond this life. I mean, the Bible even says it that in Corinthians, that if our only hope is in this life, then we are of men most miserable. Because if this is all that there is, well, that's just a very sad and depressing thought. And when we stop to think about it, it really does sound like a depressing place, doesn't it? But then, as we look in the midst of the darkness, as we look in the midst of the hopelessness, as we look in the midst of the joylessness, we see that there's a light that shines through. We see that there's a light that breaks through. We see that there's a Savior that is born. The one who the Bible says brings great joy to all people. The one who the Bible says conquers sin and death. The one who promises to one day return and take us home to heaven. And this morning, I want us to look just for a little bit at this journey of joy that begins at Jesus' birth and will one day ultimately culminate in His return. It's a journey that, if you will allow it, can transform your life. It's a journey that, if you allow it, can fill you with peace. It's a journey that, if you allow it, will fill you with hope. And yes, if you allow it to, it is a joy that can, or a journey that can fill you with great joy. And so you're there in Luke chapter 2, and I invite you to look there. We'll begin at verse number 9, down through verse number 12. Luke chapter number 2, beginning at verse number 9, down through verse number 12. The Bible says, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." You see there in verse number 10, the angel tells them that he brings them good tidings of great joy. And that's the thought I want us to focus on this morning. Last week we saw about the hope that we have in the Savior. And now this morning I want to see the great joy we can have in the Savior. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you again for this day. And Father, we do thank you for your love and your mercy towards us. And Father, we do thank you now for this opportunity that we have to come and gather in your house on a Sunday morning to sing your praises and open your word, to see a truth that might help us and encourage us and challenge us, Lord, to be the church and the Christian that have us to be. And now, Father, this morning we just pray that you would help us to just quiet our hearts, help us, Lord, to focus on you. And Lord, we pray this morning that now that you'd speak to hearts this morning. And Lord, if there be one here that know not Christ as their Savior, we pray they not leave this place without getting it settled 100% sure that Christ is their Savior and that heaven's their home. And the Lord, this morning, if there be one here this morning, maybe they're struggling to find that joy, that hope. May the Lord, they find it in you and your Son this morning. Lord, just comfort hearts that need comforted, challenge hearts that need challenged. And the Lord, now use me as only you can. May I speak the words you'd have me to say, refrain from those things that need not be said. And Lord, for all that you'll do, we'll carefully give you the praise, the honor, the glory for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And so we're talking about this journey this morning. This journey of hope, this journey of joy, this journey of transformation, of peace. And it's a great journey to go on. It really is. But the question we have to ask ourselves is, have you received it? Do you know the joy that only Jesus can give? You know, there is a difference between joy and happiness. You've heard me say that a few times this year. Because happiness depends on happenings. If something good happens to us, well, then we're happy. We get that promotion at work, we're happy. We get that raise at work, we're happy. We get that, I don't know, that gift we wanted for Christmas, we're happy. But then when bad things happen to us, well, then we're not so happy. We lose that promotion at work. We lose that job. We don't get that raise. We get looked over for that promotion. We get forgotten on a birthday or Christmas, or someone makes a promise, they don't keep it, or whatever the case may be. And so now we're not so happy. And that's because happiness depends on happenings. But joy is something that is inward. And joy is something that only can be filled by the giver of joy, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have a world out there today, they're looking to have that hole filled in their lives. And they're trying everything under the sun to try and fill that emptiness that they feel within, except for the only thing that can actually fulfill that emptiness, that being Lord Jesus Christ, that being God. Because everything we try to do to fill that hole, it will just be temporary. How many here ever had Chinese food? Okay, a good majority. So, but you know what, Chinese food is great. You know, I enjoy Chinese food. Tuesday night, Christmas Eve, Manny and I, we have our Christmas Eve tradition. After our Christmas Eve service, we get Chinese. That's our Christmas Eve tradition. But here's the problem with Chinese food. You eat it, and then in an hour, 2, 3 hours, you're hungry again. It doesn't fill you up. It doesn't satisfy the craving for too long. The same thing is true when it comes to the things of this world. The things of this world, they do not fill you up for a long time. They do not sustain for a long time. They do not stay for a long time. And this morning, I want us to dive into this truth of God's word and discover the joy that Jesus offers to all who believe. You know, there's an old saying that says this: joy is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of God. I want you to catch that this morning. Joy is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of God. You see, this morning, the joy that we find in Jesus is not contingent on circumstances. The joy that we find in Jesus is not contingent on worldly comforts. The joy that we find in Jesus this morning is rooted in the unshakable truth of who He is and what He has done for us. And this morning, as we're here in Luke chapter 2, notice specifically, if you would, verses 10 and 11. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And so as we reflect on these two verses in particular, we celebrate the birth of Jesus, the Savior of the world. But the joy of His birth, that's just the beginning of a journey that will take us all the way to His return. A journey that begins with His arrival in a humble manger, moves through His sacrifice on the cross, leads to His glorious resurrection, His ascension, and then one day it culminates in His triumphant return. And it's this journey this morning is what is the journey of great joy. And so we see it, number one this morning, Jesus is born. Jesus is born. Here in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, the angel appears to the shepherds, bringing an announcement of great joy. And this is the moment we celebrate at Christmas, the birth of a Savior, the birth of Jesus, the birth of the Savior of the world. And you notice what the angel says here. He says, "I bring you good tidings of great joy." And you see, it's very simple. The message of Jesus' birth was the best news ever told. Not just to the shepherds, but to all people. This is the message that breaks through the darkness of sin. This is the message that breaks through the darkness of despair. And you notice what it says there in verse number 11. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And so this morning, in a world full of chaos, in a world full of heartache, the birth of Jesus is what brought the promise of peace, is what brought the promise of hope and eternal life. He was born to save. He was born to redeem. He was born to bring joy to every heart that would receive Him. Good tidings of great joy. A Savior is born. And you see, this Savior was no ordinary child. Jesus, born in Bethlehem, was the long-awaited Messiah. Christ the Lord, the one who would fulfill all the promises that God had made. It was His birth that was the beginning of God's ultimate plan to rescue humanity from sin and restore that broken relationship between God and mankind. It was a joy that would echo through all of eternity. So journey number one, Jesus is born. But then the second part of the journey is that Jesus paid the price for sin. Jesus paid the price for sin. The joy of Jesus' birth was only possible because of His mission to pay the price for sin. And so now as we move from His birth to His purpose, we recognize that this child in the manger was born to die. He was born to die for you and for me. And that was His mission. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, you don't have to turn there, but Matthew 1:21 reminds us that he shall save his people from their sins. And so from the moment of his birth, from the moment that Jesus was born, Jesus' purpose was clear. He came to sacrifice for the sins of the world. In Romans 5:8, the Bible says, we read that God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm thankful this morning that Jesus didn't wait for us to become perfect. Jesus didn't wait for us to turn over a new leaf. Jesus didn't wait for us to start coming to church regularly. Because listen, if he had to wait for us to be perfect, he'd never save us. If he'd have to wait for us to turn over a new leaf, we'd never turn over that new leaf. If he waited for you just fill in the blank, it would never happen. But the Lord Jesus Christ loved us so much that knowing who we are, despite who we are, and despite who we were, he took the weight of our sin, the weight of our shame, and he paid the ultimate price on the cross of Calvary with his life for mine, with his life for yours. He would endure the cross for the joy set before him. Hebrews 12:2 gives us a glimpse of the heart of Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. You know, sometimes we sit back and we wonder, and we read the account of the crucifixion, and maybe sometimes you think, what on earth would possess somebody to give his life, to lay down his life, to die? What was on his mind when he gave his life on Calvary? Well, the verse answers it. For the joy that was set before him. What was the joy? Who was the joy? You were the joy set before him. I was the joy set before him. And because as he was hanging there on that cross, he saw you and he saw me. The Bible says he endured the cross. Jesus knew that the suffering of the cross would lead to the greatest joy, the redemption of mankind and the restoration of God's kingdom. The joy he envisioned was our salvation, our forgiveness, our reconciliation to the Father. So we see this morning Jesus is born. Jesus paid the price for sin. Thirdly, we see that Jesus is risen. Jesus is risen. The birth of Jesus, his sacrificial death, and his resurrection are inseparable in the story of salvation. Jesus rose from the dead, and it's his resurrection which is the foundation of our hope and our joy. We see the victory of resurrection in Matthew 28, verses 5 through 8. The angel declares, he is not here, for he is risen, as he said. And Jesus conquered sin and death through his resurrection, ensuring that those who believe in him will also one day rise with him. And see, folks, that's the ultimate victory over the grave. That's the source of our joy. Because Jesus lives, you and I have eternal life. And because of that, we can have great joy in the resurrection. You remember the women who visited the tomb. The Bible says they were filled with great fear, but also they were filled with great joy when they saw the empty tomb. The resurrection was the confirmation that Jesus is who he said he is, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And it's through his resurrection that we can experience the joy of knowing that death has lost its sting and that eternal life is ours through faith in him. But not only did he rise, number next, we see Jesus ascended. Jesus ascended after his resurrection. Jesus didn't remain on earth, but he ascended into heaven, where he now sits, the Bible tells us, at the right hand of God the Father, ruling over all, making intercession for us. And that ascension was a promise of his return. In Luke chapter 24, verses 51 through 52, we read this: he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. There's that phrase again. Great joy. The disciples were filled with joy, not just because Jesus had risen from the dead, but because he was ascending to his rightful place. His ascension is just simply, when we stop to think about it, it's a declaration that he has completed his mission and is now preparing a place for us. And it shows us that Jesus is far above all powers. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 21 reminds us that Jesus has been set for above all principalities, powers, mights, and dominions. You see, this morning there's no greater authority, there's no greater ruler than Jesus Christ. His ascension assures us that even in a world full of chaos, he is still in control. He is still the ultimate authority. But not only that he is in control, but number next and finally this morning, Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. You see, the story of Jesus doesn't end with just his ascension into heaven. No. The Bible promises that Jesus is coming again. And because of that, we have the hope and joy of his return. 1 Thessalonians 2:19, the Bible asks us, what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? You see, the return of Jesus is the final chapter in the journey of joy. For those who believe, his return means the end of suffering. It means the fulfillment of promises. It means the beginning of eternal joy in his presence. But it also means the promise of resurrection. It also means the promise of reunion. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 17, Paul assures us that when Jesus returns, the dead in Christ will rise, and the living believers will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. This is our blessed hope. It is the joy that we long for, knowing that one day we will see Jesus face to face. But now here's the sad reality. Everything that brings about joy starts and ends with Jesus. That means then this morning that there can be no joy without Jesus. Oh, sure, you might experience some happiness in life, but again, happiness depends on happenings. It's important to understand that true joy can only be found in Jesus. Because without Jesus this morning, there is no peace. Without Jesus this morning, there is no lasting joy. And if you reject Jesus this morning, you will face eternal separation from God. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus tells us the parable of the 10 virgins, and that the door to the wedding feast was shut, and those who were unprepared were left behind. Likewise, when Jesus returns, those who do not know him, those who have rejected him, they will be shut out of the kingdom of God, experiencing eternal regret and sorrow. In Luke chapter 13 and Mark 9, Jesus warns of the torment that awaits those who reject him. The Bible says about hell, the fire is not quenched. You see, this morning, without Jesus, there is no joy. There's only eternal suffering. But here's the good news. Jesus gives great joy. Jesus gives great joy. The good news this morning is that Jesus does give great joy. And the even better part, it's available to you today. Right where you sit, you can have and experience the joy of Jesus. Number one, you can experience the joy of salvation. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4, the Bible paints us a beautiful picture of heaven. In fact, turn there if you would. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. And notice here, if you would, verses 1 through 4. The Bible says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.'" This right here is the ultimate joy that Jesus promises to those who trust in Him. John 3:16 assures us that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So yes, you can have this morning the joy of salvation. But then also, if for those that know Christ already, you can have joy in the present and in the future. You see, Jesus offers joy now in this life for all who follow Him. In John 15:11, the Bible says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." You see, true joy this morning comes from living in fellowship with Jesus, trusting Him as Savior and Lord. It's a very simple concept this morning. Jesus' birth, His death on the cross, His resurrection, His ascension, and His promised return. Each step of this journey, it's a step toward great joy. And if you have never experienced this joy, then you're invited today to place your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. Accept His gift of salvation. Receive the forgiveness of your sins. And know the joy that only He can give. And for those of you here that you do know Him as your Savior, as we await His return, I encourage you to live in joy, knowing that you belong to Him, that He belongs to you, and that one day He'll be coming again to take us home again to be with Him someday. And so, wherever it is you sit this morning, in need of salvation or already saved, you have a decision to make. Will you receive His joy today? Because if you receive His joy today, then the happenings won't matter. The circumstances won't matter. Somewhere along the line, we've gotten it confused that all of a sudden we become a Christian and all of a sudden everything turns up roses and rainbows and we never have a hard day ever again as in our life just because we get saved and we become a Christian. Folks, that's not the case whatsoever, because we still live right here, right now, in the nasty now and now. We're not in the sweet by and by just yet. And until we get there, we're still going to have trials. We're still going to have tribulations and heartaches and sorrows and all the rest and everything that comes along with life. But if you have Jesus, you know what? There's just a joy that you'll have that, listen, it's to the world, your life could be falling apart. And the world sees you and there's just something about you, and they'll look at you and say, "Don't you know what's happening around you?" Well, yeah. Then how aren't you letting it affect you? Well, because I've got Jesus. And that's the type of joy that Jesus gives. Because it doesn't matter the happenings. It matters who you have living on the inside. You can this morning and this Christmas choose joy in Jesus. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand together at our feet.